put confidence in the flesh. I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus.
Second reading is from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a whole year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
What is our vision as a Christian church, as the Christian church here in Mark's Tay? What are we trying to achieve and how do we get there? I want to say two things today, mission and worship. First of all, we're called to mission. We're called to pass it on, to witness to Jesus and to what he's done in us, and to call others to faith. Paul's focus in that first reading from Philippians, his focus is on Christ and Christ alone. Paul, we probably know, he had a very privileged upbringing. All the background of Jewish faith and culture in that reading, he goes through it all. The best education, the best training that there was, all the worldly status of being born as a Roman citizen in Tarsus. He says it was no mean city, Tarsus. But he says that he's come to see all of that privilege and background as worthless. He actually uses the word for animal dung. I've come to see all that as dung compared to the treasure of knowing Jesus Christ. Wendy explained that to one inquirer this week by using the parable in Matthew 13 of the treasure that a man found in a field. You may know it. It's only a little parable, But it says that a man discovered treasure in a field, and what he did was he went and sold everything else he had, and he bought that field. And then just after it, there's a similar little parable Jesus tells of a merchant who was looking for fine pearls, and he sees a pearl of great value, and again, he goes away and sells everything else that he has in order to buy that one pearl. And Jesus explains to his listeners that the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's the most important choice that we will ever make. It's the most valuable gift that we will ever receive. We're thrilled that a number of folk here are going to be baptized and confirmed in a few weeks' time. So can I just encourage you, be like those people. Seize the opportunity to take the next step in your pilgrim journey to know Christ more for yourself. And call others to be like that too. We want to continue, as we just celebrated, being deeply involved in the community, expressing our love and care for the people around us. And as we do that, inviting people to join the kingdom of God. So we hope to run, for example, another Alpha course in the autumn, because the kingdom should be open to all. It should be offered to all. Jesus welcomed everyone, women and men, prostitutes and sinners, children and foreigners. He even welcomed criminals and murderers. You remember the thief on the cross beside him. He called them to repent. He called them to walk with him in new life, and he calls us too today. Don't worry about people rejecting and despising the faith. They rejected Jesus in his lifetime. And let's face it, he was the best evangelist who ever walked this earth, and still some people rejected him. What we're called to do is simply to be faithful to the gospel, simply to tell the story of Jesus in the gospels and in our own lives as well, and then to call others to follow him as well. I like to think it's saving the world one person at a time. So that's mission. Secondly, we're called to worship. In a way, what we're doing now, to love God in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. In that second reading that Annie read to us in John 12, that's what Mary was doing when she poured expensive perfume over Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. It was not only extravagant, what the bean counter might call a waste of resources, but it was also actually embarrassingly intimate. She was letting her hair down in public. But Jesus, as he always does, Jesus saw her heart. He saw what she was doing as an act of worship and of love. And Jesus loved what she was doing. And I think he saw even further. He saw into the spirits prompting her to do that. He saw that this was a prophetic act, pointing forward just 6 days to his burial. So our worship needs to be, first of all, wholehearted, an act of love. I know we're British, I know we worry about what people might think and so on, but Mary sets us an example, doesn't she? An example of uninhibited worship. She was letting her hair down for Jesus. How can our worship be more heartfelt? How can it be more authentic and, dare I say it, a little bit less British? I also think our worship needs to be prophetic, as Jesus saw in Mary's act of worship. And as we worship, we will be transformed into the likeness of Christ. We'll begin to develop the character of the one that we are worshiping. We'll want to obey him. We'll want to do his will. And we'll naturally begin to put to death the works of the flesh, the behavior of our earthly nature. Wendy mentioned Open the Book and Soul Space and so on in school. We've loved watching the children getting involved in those things. We've loved seeing them being captivated by the stories and the drama. And bit by bit, we've seen them change, and their teachers have seen them change, being transformed, getting to know more of Christ through the Bible narratives. God is at work through his transforming presence. Of course, God accepts us as we are. Of course, he loves us just as we are. But he loves us too much to leave us just as we are. His plan is to make us more like Jesus, to get us ready for eternal life with him. And worship is a key part of that process of transformation. People who worship Jesus become more like Jesus. And that's why we're encouraging you to join in with the Lent Pilgrim and the Easter Pilgrim reflections. And a bit later on with Thy Kingdom Come, which we've done for the past few years. That's why we're encouraging you to join together in worship as we do on Sundays and indeed regularly through the week as well. Because these things draw us closer to Jesus and transform us. So just to finish, to conclude, what is our vision? Well, some people have called it to know Jesus and to make him known. Or perhaps if I can put it visually, the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal one with people. Or perhaps as Jesus expressed it, the two commandments, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbour as yourself. You couldn't really have a better aim than those, could you now?